Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together and look at your word and see what you teach us, what you have to say to us. And Lord, we just thank you for that, and that you show us things that we wouldn't otherwise know, and that you encourage us and give us hope. And Lord, we hold on to your hope and have our eyes fixed upon you. We thank you for the salvation that you've given us, that we are truly forgiven, and that we're just so thankful for that. So I just pray this morning, you just, as each one of us who come together to speak to each one of us and open our hearts to what your word has to say. Anoint me, I pray, and the Spirit, and I just speak words of the Spirit, Lord, and be sensitive to what you have to say and what you're communicating to your church. And so we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning. Everybody doing well this morning? Look at that. We're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. We have the verse up there. The title to the message is Capacity to Love. Capacity to Love. Just as a preview for next week, it's going to be God is Love. Okay, so we'll have a kind of two sessions here, all coming here in 1 John. So look at John, 1 John 4, 7. And it says this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Now, in the Bible, you know, we read through the scriptures, especially the New Testament, but the Old Testament too. And it just talks about the love of God and God's love for the world, and that we are to love other people. And so it's a dominant, it's a dominant theme throughout the scriptures, is God's love. In this section, however, what we want to focus on, it is actually speaking specifically to the church. I mean, it's not saying, okay, I'm not talking about anybody else, but what's happening here in the church, they've had some, kind of some things pop up, okay, if you will, and when John wrote this letter, when God communicated it, and so as we have looked at some of the scriptures in the past, and he's dealing with these issues, but then he comes down and says, listen, I'm going to tell you, all of you, and all that you're going to, within the church, you need to love one another, because love comes from God. So this message is specifically to the church, all right? So again, I don't want to exclude it from anything, but it is written specifically to the church that they, which certainly show God's love to the body. And of course, in the body, the church, within the church body, the first element of love goes to our families, okay? We have our families, and then the church is an extended family. And so he is saying here that we should love one another, and that's the reason he's saying beloved, because we've already been introduced to God. We understand our salvation. He said, beloved, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God, okay? So it's like, wow, that's kind of a big package, you know, identifying the character of believers. So we want to look at this. And so whoever truly, what the scripture is saying here is the church says, whoever truly loves their brothers and sisters in Christ, not only are born of God, your own salvation, but you know God. You know God. So witnessing of your love of brothers and sisters shows that you know God. So there's that dynamic because God is working in the believer's heart. Now, again, it's the word, if you know, I'm sure you probably know, but when the Bible uses love, the word love, it's translated, when we use love, it's translated, you know, literally in the scriptures. It's three words, so it picks up just, but depending on which word you mean. And one just means like lust, okay? The second one means like friendship, like a friendship love, okay? And then the third love is agape love, which means a self-sacrificing love. Well, most always, not always, when the Bible uses love, it's talking about agape love, a self-sacrificing love. Like, for instance, God so loved the world. A self-sacrificing, giving love. And so that's a word here. So it's like, love one another. It's not like just, hey, what's happening? You know, friendship, definitely not the other, because the other, you always want something. You know, you can act an act of love, but it's not. It's lust. You want something back, you know. So it's like, but agape is not like that. It's a giving, self-sacrificing love that God showed to us. So the word here is agape, and the meaning is, and you got to love this, you know. Meaning is right here, is that giving, sacrificial, expecting nothing in return. So, I mean, it's kind of deep. I have to kind of feel prompted. Over the years, I do marriage counseling, okay? And just, you know, different people come in, I do marriage counseling. Now, this is me, the way I approach things. I guess the way the Lord has taught me. I don't care what the issue is. I don't care what the issue. When a couple comes in, I put this. When they leave, the guy is like going, holy good night. You know, and the woman's like shouting the victory. I mean, it never fails. I mean, absolutely 100%. Now, I don't know if anything's going to work out, but I know how they feel when they leave, okay? She's just like, because the first verse I go to, the first verse in marriage counseling, the very first one, it says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Husbands, agape your wives. Giving, self-sacrificial, expecting nothing in return. And the guy goes, whoa. Woman goes, yes, you know, yes, you know. So that's where we start off. I mean, that's where we start. And I think it's very biblical. I had a preacher walk out of a session one time because I said this. And I thought, well, I mean, he thought it was wrong. I'm thinking different things about him. I mean, it's like, that tells me something. You know, as the wife went out the door, she looks back and goes, no, she didn't. She didn't do that. But that's what we're talking about here. And when God is expressing, you know, what he's doing in the body of Christ, this is what he's talking about. So he brings everybody kind of in this one group. You know, that. So that's his focus. And it's not just a kind of, well, whatever, and you feel this way, they feel that way, and we'll work. This is not, he doesn't do that. God doesn't do it. He just cuts through, says, no, this is what I expect you to do. Now, so we see it. Now, he's talking about the church, you know, in the same kind of terms, the same terms here. And so what he's saying here says this love is pure. This is a pure love that only comes from God. And the church should be recognized by its love for one another. I mean, just hang that out on the shingle in front of every church, you know. And it's like, is that... And by the way, this is what God is saying about the church. It's not like, you know, he said, no, this is the way it should look. And you think, oh, my goodness. Now, and when I say church, I mean the believers within the church, but church is the corporate, you know, like that. So it works down to the individual. And so the other thing, this is not a virtue innate to us, okay? God's recognizing it's not a virtue innate to us, like we just come out that way, and it's not learned behavior. Let me teach you how to love. It's not a learned behavior, because you can't learn that. It's from God. It literally is from God, and so we see how important the relationship from God is. He is the originator, the giver of that love. So you see where you're focus in your relationship with God is big. The relationship and the focus of the church, you know, God is the originator of love, and the church should show that love. And so because love has its origin in God, those who belong to God should demonstrate love in their relationships with one another. I mean, just happy place. Everybody, we're just so happy to be here, you know. Everybody spoke to me and said nice things. I think they meant it, you know. Okay, no. But you see, that's what God is saying. There's a dynamic here of what he wants his church to be because of him. It's because of him. It's not something we work up. We work up. Now, and so and when you look at the terms here, like when you do this, you've been born of God and you know God. Oh, you know, because if the church loves, that means they've been born of God and they know God. You know, there's a connection, there's a correlation here, and that's what the Lord is actually saying here. And and the correlation is, you know, that this agape love can only occur among those who have come to know God's love through Jesus Christ. That's our door. God, Jesus' love. God so loved the world, He gave His Son. Jesus loved the world, He came to die for. So we have that picture of Jesus, and He shows the pure love. And that's the pure love, and that's agape love. And I'm telling you, this is what I'm telling you about, and this is what the church should demonstrate. And so, and this is the thing that, okay, then God calls us children of God. See, you think, oh, that's cool. He calls us children of God. No, He calls us children of God because we love Him. You know, we have a love for God because He loved us first. So, those who love their brothers and sisters in the community of faith show not only that they are members of God's family, but that they know God as well. This knowing is not a knowing about information or doctrinal facts, but it's personal. It's relational knowing. The knowing among members of the same family. So the family, God meant the family to be a dynamic of self-sacrificial love and like that. And so what He does is a church, and He calls it, the church is children, and He spreads it out, should it be a dynamic of self-sacrificial love. See, that's His intention. This is what God is showing us. And we go, okay, man. That's nice. You know, that's powerful. And then you go back what Jesus said, and then Jesus said it often. And like the disciples, when Jesus said it, they're all going, what are you talking about? You know, I mean, they had a hard time with it. And then, but Jesus said, like in John 13:35, He goes this, by this, all people will know that you are My disciples. You'll raise the dead, heal the sick, and, you know, no, that's not what He says. By this, all people will know you are My disciples. If you love one another. That's the difference. It's like, no, these people are really different. What? They love each other. You know, and it's like, oh, they're high five friendship love. You know, or they're trying to manipulate and get what they can to lift themselves up. No. They're self-sacrificing to each other and caring for each other. It's something we don't see. And so now they know you're Jesus' disciples. You see what I'm saying? It's like, oh my goodness. So if you're like me, probably the first question you would have, say, okay, that sounds really, really good. Okay, but it's like, how do we live up to this? How in the world do we live up to this? And so we have this section. And again, now I also want to let you know for next week, you know, again, we're going to say God is love. So we'll just continue with it because there's a lot of information here. And it's really important to the function of a church. He almost says, if you don't have this, you don't have a church. You know, you have a pretend or something else, but you don't have a church if you don't have this, or you don't have believers coming together. So, okay, so the first thing we want to look at is how do we live up this command? We'll back up a few verses here, but look at 1 John 4:4. And this is where we really have to understand our relationship with God. And 1 John 4:4 says this, He who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Oh! And what's in the world is Satan, you know, and his evilness in the context of what's saying here. And it says, but the one in us is greater. So what happens, we have something in us that is greater than all that's in the world. So it comes from within, from God, who we know is God, that works out through us. See, that's a Christian. Because you believe on the Lord Jesus, Christ indwells you, and He transforms you, and then it works out. That's just the Christian life. Amen? Now, I feel prompted to say this. It's like, and people say, anything, how can you do that? I mean, it's like it's so against human nature. And by the way, the scripture indicates that this is not innate to us. It's not something we learn to do. It's God in us that works it out. So it's definitely with a relationship with God. And it definitely has to be with believing on Jesus. And we believe on Jesus. He said Jesus lives within us. Well, but that's what he says, lives within us, through the Holy Spirit. Because we believe. Then he works from within. Amen? And so, well, I just can't, he can't, how can the Holy Spirit in me change my bad attitudes and make me to love like God? And the thing I always go back is like, in the very beginning of the Bible, the first word, it says this. First verse, it says, in the beginning, God. So what was in the beginning? God. Was it a big something that blows up? No, there was nothing. In the beginning was God. It was God. God is Spirit. In the beginning was God. And then when it says God spoke, and then the universe were created. I mean, that's like some big time power. Amen? That God lives within us. That God lives in me. He says, you know, I could create the universe. I couldn't get Wallace to do nothing. Well, you know, maybe he could have got me done something, you know. I mean, it's like he created the universe. He lives in me. So, but the point of it is, when we receive Christ and he comes to live within us, he starts working within us. And because he's God that created the universe in us, he changes us from within. And one of the first things he does, he teaches us to love people. See? And he said, now I got a church full of people that love people. And now you know we have a church. It's like, oh, you know, I thought, you know, Adam got him singing and we all praise Jesus. And I thought, oh, we got a church. And I really appreciate Adam singing. But that didn't make it the church. The church is our capacity to love one another. And then we get them singing because we're really happy about it. You see, you don't get the cart before the horse. So this is really, you know, powerful. It really is powerful. And it is powerful that you, if you don't have a right view of God, well, you can't live it out, you know. I mean, if you tell somebody, listen, you're just bugging me out. Love like God. You're irritating me, which would tell you that that's a lustful attitude because who I'm worried about is me. So, well, you just be better if you just knew you need to love somebody else and you love, and because I can't tell you, that's judgmental, you know. And so all those things tell all sorts of things about me, you know. And you can't tell somebody like that. What you do, you introduce somebody to Jesus, and through God, they receive Christ and they're transformed. And that's the only way it can happen. That's the only way it can happen with us. And what God says when it's happened to us, that we start living it out. He's telling us, and he teaches us how to live it out. All right? So love is from God. Only our deep relationship with God can empower us and sustain us in sacrificial agape for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's only Jesus that sustains it. And so to sustain it in Jesus, we have to have a relationship with Jesus to sustain it. You follow me? I mean, it's just logic there, all right? Now, and then, then God says this. You know, I get a fascination, as you will, when you're reading the Bible and see what God says. You know, and sometimes I don't think God is like politically correct. You ever notice that he is not politically correct? I say, you know, God, that's really going to irritate a lot of people. I mean, it really is. I mean, you should soften that just a little bit. You know, but he doesn't. You know, and you go, oh. Okay, well, here's one of those verses, okay? It's like, okay, Jesus in me, I don't love everybody, but I'm working on it, and it's not that big a deal. Okay, look at the next verse. Anyone who does not love, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. I can't love. That's because you don't know God. See, that really cuts down on your counseling things, you know. You just say, well, I can't love. Well, it's because you don't know God. You know, next. No, but you see what I'm saying. God is talking to us individually. If you're counseling something, you should use a different technique, kind of work your way up to that or something. But what he's saying here, what's so impactful here, he's saying that if there's no love, it's a communication and evidence you don't really know who God is. That's what he's saying. That's like, oh my gosh. All right, I have to go back and do self-examination and look at my relationship with God if I'm not loving the people I'm supposed to love. Right? So that shows you where to go. You know. Amen? You see what I'm saying? And that's what God is telling us. But again, greater is he who is in us than that's in the world. He's, I will teach you and I'll help you do this. I'll work this through you. I'll work this through you. And so what we have here in verse 7, the verse we looked at previously, said, everyone who loves knows God. Now this verse 8 says, whoever does not love does not love God. Period. Well, how about some gray area in between and maybe some caveats? And, no. You love God. You know? You love, you know God. You don't love, you don't know God. Period. It's like, okay. Now listen to this. And this is a killer. I just want to tell you up front. Agape love is the evidence of authentic spirituality. I'm spiritual, I love Jesus. It's just a lot of people I just don't care for. You know? No, that's not any evidence of any spirituality. You love people. You have a love for God. You have a love in you for people because God has a love for people. You love the church because God loves the church. And it comes from within you, and he uses us to express his love to others. I want to see God's love. He's okay. You be nice to somebody. It's what? You know? You see what I'm saying? So it's like, okay. And so instead of softening this truth, God says, now I'm going to give you an example. Ready? He's going to give us the, so we're going, well, I don't understand, you know, and he really hit us. He's just shown us he's not at all politically correct, and now he's going to give us another example of being not politically correct and confirm he's not politically correct. He's not the truth, and need to look at it. So instead of softening this truth about loving brothers and sisters, God gives his own act of agape love as an example to us. So here we go. Well, how do you do this? God goes, let me give you an example. You ready? There's no overhead for this, but you know the information. There's no overhead. 1 John 4:9-10. By the way, I always like to remind people, this is all in context. I'm not pulling a verse here, pulling a verse there, pulling a verse, okay, making up a nice thing. I mean, you can do that sometimes. This is just all one flow here. 1 John 4:9-10. In this is the love of God made manifest. Everybody know what manifest means? To make known. So in this, I'm making known the love of God. So he's telling us. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation, a payment for our sins. See, that's how you do it. Oh, and everybody, then all of us go, oh, okay, we can do that. That's a piece of cake. No, we're going, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. I always tell, you know, like you have a young couple, and we'll say really young, 19, you know, God looks and says, I love you. You know what the girl should say? You ain't no way. You don't have a clue what you just said. You don't have a clue what you just said. Yeah, I just love you. You know, I'll spend my life with you. Mm-mm. You just looking at good stuff. You don't have a clue what that means. See? So I'm just divided. So anyone who want to, you know, share with their daughters, just share that with them. Their first response when some guy says they love her. He says, no, you don't. you don't even know what it means, you know, and said, I can take you, Pastor Wallace. He'll tell you what it means. You'll be sweating bullets by the time he's done. Okay, you see what I'm saying? It really is the father's job. That's not my job. It's the father's job. Or you can tell your sons, you know. So when you tell your girl, you feel like telling the girl you love her, think twice, you need to talk to me first. You know what you're saying. Okay, you're fixing to buy into something here. You don't have a clue, you know, what you're talking about. All right. So anyway, just anything, you know, that's something to process. Turn your kids totally against dating. Anyway, so here we have God showed his love among us. Now, here's the point. God showed his love. This is how he's loving us, and he's going, okay, this is how I love you. And so we know he sent his son that we might have life. Well, we have life because he sent his son. He sacrificed for us, you know, to give us something. And so God makes clear that love he speaks of involves. And this is something we don't understand a lot of times about love. God makes clear that love he speaks of involves a concrete, objective, sacrificial act. It's a concrete act. How do you know you love her? It's just like walking out in the field with the flowers and the fresh air and the sun shining, you know. It's like, no, that's not what that is. You know, that sounds like you're skipping work or something. I don't know what that is, but that's not love. That's not love, I'm telling you. All right, and so again, and you ask them, well, how do you know? Oh, you know, I just get this oozy feeling, you know. I say, all right, wait 10 years, and you know, just wait 10 years, and you come in late from work. She said, you missed our appointment, you know, with the neighbors. I went there. Just see how oozy you feel then. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? It's a misconception of love. Now, I gotta say this, and let my wife. I just got to say, she loves Hallmark. I hate Hallmark. And the reason I hate, there's only one reason I hate a Hallmark, because they end, and this is how they end, and they do it 2 minutes before it's over. Like if it ends at 10 o'clock at 9:58. You watch it. We did even do it. Look, 9:58, they got it. You know, and at 9:58, they kiss. Now, we're going to spend the rest of our life together. You know, and they get married. And I'm thinking, that's not the way this thing ends. That is not, you know, not the way it ends. I mean, this is just the start, you know. And I know in 10 years you're going to come see me. I know you're going to come see 10 years and see me, and you're going to say, what did I do? You know, I said it 10 years too late. All right. But we'll work on to it. But if you to have real love, you'll get through it. You know, if you're out in the, you know, fields smelling the grass in the sunshine, you won't get through it. But if you understand it's self-sacrificial giving, expecting nothing in return, you'll get through it. See, like that. And I usually, you know, in marriages, this is all, this is just my observation. And ever there's too many, the marriages, it's like the first year is usually tough. You know, it's like, man, this other person actually has a thought of their own. And they like living like they're alone. You're like, what? And so that can be a tough to deal with, you know. And usually the next one I see is in 10 years. It really is a bad time. So right around 10 years. Because what happens in the first 10 years, you know, you think, well, he'll change, she'll change, you know, or I can change him or whatever in the 10 years. You hit that 10-year mark, you go, he ain't changing. You go, it ain't working, ain't nothing working. He ain't changes. You know, or he's going, she ain't changing. You know, so it just kind of comes like, whoa, you know, I'm kind of stuck with this thing. I'm stuck at 10 years, you know. And so then you have, and then 20 years is a tough one. What happens at 20 years, usually they're 20, you know, plus, you know, you're around this stuff. Well, you've had kids and stuff, and so you're running like crazy, keeping them raised up. So about the 20-year mark, they leave. And you go, this is who I'm stuck with. Kids just left, and I'm stuck with him, you know? Or he said, I'm stuck with her. I mean, it's like, oh, my God. You know, and I mean, you're 20 years, you know, you're still pretty, got things together like that, see? And it's in its 20 years. Oh, my God. There's another funny thing. When our daughter left home, she's the last one to leave. And so she's leaving. Lynn said, oh, my God, the kids are all gone. And I said, well, you got me. And she cried. I mean, it wasn't just a little trickle tear. I mean, she boo-hooed. And I'm thinking, whoa. Anyway. So what we have here is God's telling them, no, this is love. I'm telling you what it is. I'm telling you what this is about love. And that agape love. And so what agape love is, it's God's love for us. And God shows his love for us, you know, and that. You know, he says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, and he knows what's going to happen. You know, we don't, but he knows what, and he says those things. So agape love is the commitment to sacrifice one's most beloved possession for another's gain. See, it's like, you understand now. Again, the boy, Dad, I'm going to tell this girl I love him. We didn't have a talk. Maybe you should say a lot of things, but maybe not that you love her yet. Or the girl says, oh, he loves me. Okay, then you can grow with your daughter. He ain't have a clue what he's talking about. Anyway, because he doesn't. I mean, because most of us don't either, you know, and God is trying to. So he's telling us in the scriptures so we can understand. And by the way, he's talking about, he's talking about the church. You know, the church. And it's like that we should have a sacrificial love. Now, so we rejoice, okay, we totally rejoice of God's sacrificial love for us. Amen? Christ agaped us. He gave his son. He gave everything. Yeah, he gave it to us. He actually died. He paid the penalty. All that God could give, he gave. And so that's the sacrificial love he gave us. And we all say, amen. Amen? We're happy about that. We're happy. We're actually happy about that. But then he says this. In receiving God's agape love, we're called to live out that same love. Now look in the next verse, 1 John 4:11. Beloved, you know, those in the church, my believers, beloved. Isn't that sweet? Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Oh, amen? But you got to see what the motivation. He so loved us, we understand that love of him to love him back, and him in us understanding that love and him living within us transforms us and gives us the power to love. See, that's the reason relationship with God is so important, because he really gives us the power to love. Okay, I'll admit this. You know, just I had some people I was praying for, and I prayed for this one person. And my first part of the prayer, I said, God, this person is really, really, really hard to love. So I just owned up to it. You know, it's just this connection is, you know, everything. And it's just really hard to love. Help me love them. Now, I said that before the prayer. You know, it's like, so I would say a correct prayer, you know, like that. But this person is really hard to love. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. And it's like, so, but to love them, it wasn't for the other person to change. It was for me to change and have the capacity to love before God to do what I needed to do. See, that's the whole point of that. And so God is telling to do this. So it's like, you know, I put a note under this, and I go, oh, my goodness. You know, so my own note to myself. And so what God is telling us to love our Christian brothers and sisters the same way he loved us. Why? Because he died for us. He died for them. Oh. Oh. So we desire to walk in the power of God and witness all the miracles of God. However, a prerequisite is loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. We had a guy here. He's an unbelievable guy. He's gone to be with the Lord. Had a real prophetic gifting. And he told me, and he said, and he's teaching me things about the prophetic. He said, don't ever have a prophetic word for somebody unless you love them first. Well, that cuts down on a lot of prophetic. Right? You know, it's like, no, you got to love them first before you can have a pure word for them. See, you have to love them, or it's going to be tainted by your attitude. So, God shows that the true nature of love is unselfish and sacrificial. God shows us that Jesus, who laid down his life for us, his brothers and sisters, is an example for us to follow. And we can't help but be loving. Now listen, we can't help to be loving because he is pouring his love into us. Now this is a growing process, okay? I mean, everything within our Christian eyes is growing. So, but we have the ability to love as Jesus did because he's pouring his love in us. The more we understand his love for us, the more capacity we have to love other people. So that's the reason a growing relationship with Christ is so important. Therefore, when he is pouring his love in us, then we have an inward constraint, an inward prompting to love. You know, he's working that through us, okay? But it's because we have a relationship with him, we have the capacity to love. But we grow in that relationship. How much he loves us gives us the capacity and ability to love other people. Now, here's out of 1 John, but this is a great verse, Romans 5:5. It really explains it. It really explains it, and it's the relationship. Romans 5:5. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. How has God's love been poured into our hearts? I got to try harder. I got to learn more. I got to work more. I got to do this. No, God's love's been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That's a relationship with God. He's just pouring into us and filling us up because of our relationship with God. And as we're filling up and growing with God, then it is manifest outward. Amen? So that's right. And so it's like it's taken us always back to our relationship with God. With God. So anyone walking in the power of the Holy Spirit loves the brothers and sisters. Now, I mean, this is the church. This is broad. I mean, there's no exceptions in this. There's no exceptions in this. Now, I'm going to read this, and this is as convicting as it can be. I mean, it just really is. And the whole thing is, no one has ever seen God. That's what the Bible tells us. No one has ever seen. You read through the scripture, no one ever saw God. We see Jesus. We've seen God. Or we see a manifestation of God, like a blinding light or something. But we don't ever see his physical being. It says no one ever seen God. But when we love one another, God is visible. Process that. I mean, you already write that down. It's hard to forget. Hard to forget. When we love one another, God's visible. Show me God. We love one another. He's visible. He's visible by our actions. And people are taken aback, you know, that we love one another. See? That's how you make God visible. I'm going to show God visible and lay my hands and raise the dead and stuff like that. No. What God says, no, you love one another and God becomes visible. Now I may use you for other things, but you love one another and God is visible. Perfect love is revealed when we love one another. Amen? Listen to the last verse in this section. 1 John 4:12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. if we love one another, he lives in, and his love is perfected in us. Therefore, people see God. Lord. And again, this is not a position of weakness. Oh, I love her. They can do anything. They can run over all me. They can. No, it talks about love where you make a decision. I mean, how many of you love, well, I shouldn't ask this. How many of you love your children? You'd raise your hands even if you don't. Okay. Okay, just, yeah, okay. So humor me. I would be really upset. So no, you love your children. Okay. But you have to do things to train them up, discipline them, all sorts of things. But you do it because you love them. You see what I'm saying? It's because you love. So don't misconfuse. Don't confuse love. Well, I just, everybody runs over me. No, it makes you stronger and stuff. And it purifies your mind that you know how to behave and take actions in love. You see what I'm saying? Okay. I just add that. You know, somebody, and this actually happened. I had somebody over at house one time. And their sweet little darling. Boy, just tearing the house up. I said, I just hate to spank it. I just love him so much. You know, and I'm thinking, God, I don't love that kid. I need your help to love him and her, you know. Because, you know, it's just like, to me, that was totally out of control. And she's showing no love whatsoever. You know, I mean, kid's going to be in jail by he's 15. I mean, I prophesy that over. No, anyways. But you see what I'm saying. You see what I'm saying. So don't confuse when I'm talking about love. It's something that's not. Okay, it's not. It is. But it is, you have a love for someone to care. And then you have the wisdom to act properly because you have a self-sacrificing love for us. Just the way God has a self-sacrificing love for us, and he teaches us all through our life. Amen. But this great verse, no one's ever seen God. If we love one another, God's in us, and his love is perfected. See? Well, how is it perfected if we love one another? I'm going to read my Bible. You know, 3 hours every day and pray 4 hours. Okay, that's great. And God may, but no, if you want see love perfected, you love one another. You see what I'm saying? So it really is powerful. And then you love, you have Jesus in you. The other people in the church who love Jesus have Jesus in them. You know, it's kind of like the Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. Okay, but I mean, it really is interacting with one another. Amen. Okay, and so we'll just close with this. The capacity to love comes from God in John 3:16. For God so agaped the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. God agaped us so that we won't perish when we believe in him. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for who you are. And Lord, the first thing that just is stunning, the first thing is that you love us. You love us more than we could ever imagine. And God, we thank you for that. And that, Lord, because you love us, we say, God, we love you back. And be our teacher. Fill us with your spirit. Prompt us to love the way we should. Let us see the world. Let us see the church through your eyes. And that, Lord, we can show your love to other people. And by showing our love to the brothers and sisters, people will see you. And we thank you for that. Name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.